Hello, Internet! Welcome to another episode of Old Geek, Young Geek. I am Scott Pell, the Young Geek. With me, as always, is Steven Johnson, the Old Geek.
Hey!
And today we have a special guest, Carol Rosato.
Hi, everybody!
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Woo! So, Thank you for having me.
Carol, you are a cosplayer.
Yes.
And just a general geek, but like you...
Yeah.
Okay. That's
very much so.
Yeah, that's why we have you.
The only way I've ever known the geek life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, coming from a family of geeks, it's like hard not to be one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Your folks are geeks too?
Yeah. Well, my mom is like more of like an artsy geek, so she like makes cards and stuff. And my dad is like mecha anime, just mechanics in general, kind of geek. Like, Pacific Rim was, like, his holy grail. Like, the amount of joy he had. Like, he's watched a lot of old-school ones, like, Mazinger Z. Like, he's shown me some of that. So, like, I come from some geeks myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my brother, too. He plays Yu-Gi-Oh!, like, competitively, and he loves Legos. He collects Lego sets of... So he's also a geek in that way, too. And he's the type of geek that, like, doesn't, like, pretends that doesn't like animes, but will watch anime with me. Like, he'll be like, oh, no, man. And he watched, like, Code Geass.
Oh, man, this is totally lame. 20 episodes later.
Yeah, honestly, that's him. He's a good kid, though. He's a good kid.
Carol, you're a cosplayer, so
yes.
Your family is just a whole bunch of geeks and nerds, and that's awesome, because I love it when, like, the older generation passes down their passions, because, like, my mom introduced me to Star Wars, and she also introduced me to video games, oddly enough.
My dad, too. My dad introduced me to, like, anime, Star Wars, video games. Like, I remember playing Mega Man, like, with him on his lap, and, like, my favorite memory with him, I remember we were eating donuts and we're sitting, like, at the Super Nintendo, and he's stuck on a part, and he'll let me play it. I must have been, like, 5 years old or whatever, you know, pretty small, and I remember he's like, oh, I can't beat this part, so he sets his remote down, and he's like, here, you play, I know you won't get this part. So he goes back and gets done, and I pick it up, and I'm super stoked, right? Because I just feel like Excalibur was handed to me. Like, here you go. Like, it's my time to shine.
Yeah.
But, so I pick it up, and, you know, I'm going through a level, and I'm so focused. Like, I do that thing, the really cartoony thing where you stick your tongue out when you play video games. I do that all the time. And I remember getting past that part, and my dad walks back in, and he sees, like, the level done, and he's like, did you really do that? I remember being like, yeah, I did. Aren't you proud? And he was proud.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
I think he was amazed, but proud.
That's really awesome.
So, yeah.
So my question was, how did you end up getting into cosplay if your dad's, like, into mechanics, you know, mechanical sort of stuff, and your mom is sort of into art and drawing and illustration?
I guess I was always kind of drawn to the aesthetic because I went to my first con when I was 16, and I looked it up because my friend was like, hey, there's a people that get together and they talk about all these things that we like. And I was like, whoa, really? That's so awesome. And my family, I told my family about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. We'll all go together. And I was looking at pictures, and I saw that everybody dressed up. And I was like, what, people are not dressing up when it's Halloween? That's, like, unheard of, like, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember, you know, it was a cosplay, but it wasn't a cosplay because I had my mom and I put it together that night before we went over there because I only went for one day with my family.
Right.
And we went as Pokemon, and my brother went as Pokemon Trainer Red, and I went as the champion Cynthia, but I didn't have a wig or anything. Like, I didn't know any of the semantics of cosplay. I just thought I was just dressing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't know it takes, like, a little bit more than that, like, the knowledge I have now, I guess. But,
yeah.
And that was, like, my first, like, exposure, because I saw people, I would, like, see people in these, like, amazing and immaculate, like, cosplays and go up to them and be like, how did you do that? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I did it myself, you know, like, I worked on it. And, like, my eyes went wide. I was like, what, you can do this, like, yourself? And that's when I kind of, and, like, had my first experience. And I went back the next year, and I did, I didn't do any cosplay. I just went back just to see, you know, after that, because I was like, man, I have to prepare for this. And then I went to college, and I didn't do any of those things for a while. Like, I didn't do any cosplay work. There was a time where, like, all I did was just stay in and just watch, like, shows, anime, whatnot. But I realized, you know, I felt like something was missing. I was so, like, stressed out in college. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back again and, like, keep that promise I told my 16-year-old self, actually do a cosplay. And I went back to MetroCon in Tampa, like, my after second year of college, and I did Jade Harley for God-tier outfit from Homestuck, and that's when I really got re-immersed in it, and I've been doing it since.
That's cool. That's really
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for somebody who is maybe less involved in the cosplaying world, when you say you do cosplay, what does that specifically mean?
Well, it's definitely, I mean, it could definitely be considered, like, I guess it depends how you look at it. It could be considered, like, a part-time job or, like, a extreme hobby, depending on what mood you're in. Like, So, because a lot of people that I know go to cons, but they don't really dress up because it's a lot of effort, you know? It's a lot of work to that. But since I like to subjugate myself into lots of work and tears of pain, I decided to do it because, like, I just am so in love with the end result of it. And, like, I love the friends I've made because of it, because it's opened so many doors to just meeting new people through, like, all the different fandoms that I would cosplay with, and just going around and being that type of environment. Such a nice change from, like, regular life. That's what I do cosplay.
Sure. So you make your own costumes? I guess.
I make some. Yeah, I make some, and I commission pieces from others if it's way too hard.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, like, within cosplay, there's a lot of people that actually make money doing it, and they help others people try to achieve their cosplay goals by offering commissioning services. Mm-hmm. And I definitely take a part of that, either whether it's, like, a close friend or, like, I'm working on a cosplay for Yu-Gi-Oh! And I need help with the jacket. And, like, I struggle with sewing, and this jacket's very complex, so I commissioned the jacket from somebody. So I'm making, you know, the shirt and stuff, but a lot of the times people get help from, like, other sources, too. So it's kind of like a community effort, too, which is really nice, because it's nice to see people come together and be like, oh, hey, I need help with, like, this jacket. And somebody will come and respond, oh, hey, I have great sewing skills, you know, I can make this for you. Or, like, vice versa, making props. Like, for one cosplay, I did Sailor Evolution. So I did Sailor Espeon, and my good friend Nia, who has a great cosplay page, did Sailor Espeon. And in exchange, I made the staffs, and they made the outfits. So we, like, kind of collabed on it, which was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know if Scott told you this, but my wife is a professional costumer. She works.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she worked on the Jimmy Kimmel Show for, like, 5 years, and she does specifically specialty costuming, which means she's not altering people's pants or stuff like that, but if you need, like, a big hamburger costume, you call her and she'll make it for you.
That's so awesome.
That's her whole thing, but she has never been involved in the cosplaying world at all. Like, it's just not where she came from. She's from the theater world. But she is amazed. She is amazed at the cosplayer. Because she knows exactly how much work goes into the things.
I'm sure. Like,
so I'm always having her translate different cosplay outfits into, what would it cost to have this made by you? And she's like, $10,000? I'm like, whoa!
Yeah. For sure. Like, the amount of effort. And, you know, there are many people that are willing to spend that much just because they really love that character and they want to, like, encapsulate that character, you know? Because it's more than the money for them.
the techniques people are using are amazing. I mean, like, the techniques they're using now, the people that are doing, like, the most elaborate cosplay costumes are the same techniques they use in movies and television. I mean,
oh,
the
yeah,
same,
for sure.
You know, like, and folding specific pieces and all that stuff, and that is not easy.
Yeah, resin casting is not easy. Sculpting, like, I tried sculpting things for, like, my Raven belt, and that was, like, real hard, and it's tough. And, you know, there are a lot of cosplayers that are also, like, theater people, too, so they have, like, double the knowledge, so they definitely know what's up, too.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so, one thing that I always appreciate about cosplays that I see, you know, either in person or on the internet, is, like, just the amount of work that goes into them. Like, to...
Yeah.
Create like those details, and like that's amazing because they take things that are like seemingly impossible, like video game character costumes, and they make them like come to life in real life, and you see them at cons. It's just like, wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like oh gosh, it was a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. We had a Comic Con here where I'm at in Grand Rapids,
uh-huh.
And there were so many different cosplays. Like it was intimidating, honestly, because, like, I just want to, like, I was so envious and, like, so curious and, like, just awestruck that, like, oh my gosh, I want to, like, ask them, like, how did you do that? How did you do that? How did you do that? But I didn't want to, like, bother them, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you. I know, like, 90% of the time, the cosplayers are waiting for you to come up to them and, like, ask you stuff.
Yeah.
Because... Even I, when I'm in cosplay, I will literally see somebody else and be like, oh my gosh, look at that design. And
yeah.
I get intimidated too, even though they're probably, like, I've been on, one of my best friends, that's how I met. I saw them in cosplay, and I was like, I cannot believe this. They literally look like exact, like, character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to give up the courage to walk up to them and be like, how did you do that? Like, how did you encapsulate that so well? And, like... They're just the beginning of, like, friendships and just really interesting, like,
yeah.
conversations and people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So, it's just, like, a form of, like, inviting you to be like, hey, come on in. Like,
oh, totally.
It's very rare that I met a cosplayer that didn't want to be talked to unless,
right.
like, you know, something happened, obviously, and
right.
they just were on the way out, you know? So.
It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you would do if you didn't want people to talk to you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, for
you know?
Sure.
It's
definitely
always,
like expression, I think. It's
yeah.
like
yeah, totally.
Expression. So, and people who are usually like, because I used to be very introverted, and doing that has helped me become a little bit more, you know, out there. So.
Sure.
Kind of helped me, yeah, shine out my personality. Because I know a lot of people that, like, in regular life, you know, they're really quiet and stuff. And, you know, you may not think about them, but when you see them in cosplay, they just, like, shine, you know. That's their area. That's their element. And they feel so comfortable. And it's really a beautiful thing to see that, like, in people, you know. Just to
yeah.
see them talk and just be so passionate about that kind of stuff.
Most definitely. Like, you see things at, like, cons that you wouldn't see elsewhere. Like, not just the costumes, but just, like, the interaction of people. Like, a group of strangers can, like, get together and, like, play a game of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or, like, Cards Against Humanity and, like, just
mm-hmm.
walk away, like, having new friends. And I think
yeah.
that's amazing because, like, I like cons for that, you know, sort of thing that happens.
It's a nice safe space for...
Yeah.
know people like that. It's just like such a like nice like pure kind of space where people are solely there for like interest, you know. You're not there for like, I mean, I'm sure some people go there just for other stuff, but like, you know, like
can I tell you this guy and I've had this conversation before about specific cons. Not every con I've ever been to, but I'm going to say 90% of every con I've ever been to, I was there professionally. Like, I was not there because I wanted to be particularly. I mean, I always had fun, but I had
right.
a job, you know, so that was what I was there for. And
yeah,
at
yeah.
some cons, like E3 or something like that, that's what everybody's there for, or many people are there for. But at some
yeah.
of them, I felt kind of bad. Like, I'd be like, oh, man, you know, like, I'm not really, like, I mean, I didn't feel bad, but I guess... It was kind of, it's just kind of a little bit weird to be like, wow, I wish I could just, you know, hang out and have fun here.
yeah, yeah, instead of doing work.
Because it's always like when you get sent to something like that, it's always with very high expectations of what you'll return with. So your days are very, very busy, and you know it's super fun, but at the same time, it's not the same kind of fun, you know.
And that's I think that's the difference between like a local con and like one of the big ones like E3.
Yeah.
Right.
When I went to E3, like that was a very business oriented place, even though like it was huge and loud and boisterous. Like there, like it still had the air of business. And
right,
that's the thing. It's like a gathering of professionals to see the new video games and report the news, and you were among that crowd, you know, reporting this and that. But like, you know, you said that you enjoy PAX because that's
PAX is awesome. Yeah, but at the same time, but even when I go to PAX, the times I've been there, I was there for work.
Yeah.
Although usually, honestly, those schedules were much more lax than E3 because they don't usually
right.
At that time, anyway, they weren't showing stuff off at PAX as much as they were at E3. I don't know if it's still
right.
The same way because I haven't been to PAX in 3 or 4 years. So,
But
you're going back to E3
crazy
this year. You're going back to E3 this year.
What's that?
You're going back to E3 this year, aren't
you?
Oh
yeah, I'll be at E3 this year.
That's,
I've been writing a video game for Funhouse, so now I got my press credentials on lock.
Woo.
Nice.
And this year I'll just be going. I'm going to say I'm just going for fun, but you know I'll be going with not an expectation of covering the entire show. I'll be, you know, Blumhouse only covers horror and video games are only a very small part of what they do. So, you know, I will have much time to just kind of enjoy being at the show and seeing people that I know and all that kind of stuff.
Just kind of taking in the atmosphere versus like studying and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus like, okay, I have to be at this place at 1:30 and then I have to be at 2:15 and so.
Yeah. I remember when I was at, when I was waiting in line for a demo of Mirror's Edge Catalyst, and like, I'm such a
Exciting!
Oh yeah, it was.
I'd be excited.
Oh, I was really excited, and that game comes out in May. I'm really excited for that game.
I'm re-pumped for that.
I remember seeing Evan Narcissi of Kotaku. He's one of my favorite writers, and I saw him just like taking huge long strides as fast as he possibly can just to get to the next area. I'm like, wow, he looks stressed. I would love to like say hi, I love your work, but like he's like, I gotta go. I just gotta go.
Super, I gotta get to.
Yeah, totally. E3 is different though. Like it's not like a regular con. I mean, like it's an expo.
I was gonna say like that kind of reminds me of how like. I know I was talking with my cosplaying friends who's actually also a vet tech like I am, and we have the thing called the NAVC, which is just basically a con for, like, veterinarians and, like, pharmacists and all that in the veterinary field. And, you know,
there any good cosplay there?
Unless you dress up as a dog. I'm sure.
I think you should start cosplay there. That would be amazing.
We were talking about that, actually. We were talking about what are characters that are doctors that we could probably sneak in. it's kind of like that. You're expected to be professional. And, like, I have fun because, like, I'm also a science nerd, so I love learning new things within that field. But it's kind of like a different kind of fun. You kind of like to restrain it a little bit. You can't just, like, let it all out, you know? It's a very much different sort of, like, environment and fun. So.
Not totally.
Yeah. So I would say the same about E3, you know?
Yeah.
It's more of, like, kind of, like, looking at things and seeing, like, oh, man, this is cool. I gotta, like, show people, like, how cool this is. And
Totally. I saw a cosplayer at E3. And
oh, yeah?
There's some.
There's a few. But, like, it just seemed out of place when everyone else was, like...
Me and my brother always dreamed about going to E3, but I would never cosplay there just because, like... I wouldn't feel like what you're saying. I would feel out of place unless, like, a video game person sponsored me to do it for their game. You know what I mean? Like...
But then you'd just be stuck at their booth all day.
Exactly. So, it's like, you know... Pros and cons, you know. I could help
sometimes
them sell
them
videos.
Sometimes the game companies do that.
Would you be a booth name at E3?
If I were to go for free, heck yeah. Anywhere to get me there, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So, I would be a booth babe just to just to be around them and just say, hey, I went to E3.
Yeah, for sure.
And knock that off my, like, con or whatever checklist. Because, you know, there's, like, those really cool cons that you dream about going one day. You just want to go once. Mm-hmm. And, like, E3 is one of them just because, like, I love video games. I'm more of, like, the JRPG kind of, like, type. I mean, like, Legend of Zelda 2 and, like, all that stuff. Some horror games, but not too many because I'll freak myself out. But, but yeah, just to experience that, you know, that would be awesome.
What are, like, you've done lots of cosplays. What are some ones that, like, you're really proud of? Like, because you've come along just from, like, doing... Like, just, like...
Just overnight like cosplay.
Come on, overnight cosplay. Yeah. It takes, you know, a month or two to assemble.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So, I think the first, like, time I felt, like, really recognized was when I did Ruby Rose.
Yeah.
Woo. So, my two good friends, because I made good friends, and my friend Victoria, or Vic, for short, they were like, oh, man... We really need to cosplay Ruby, you know, and I know she wanted to do Yang, and I was like, oh man, what if, can I pull off Ruby? Can I? Cause I thought about doing Blake for the longest time, and I was like, no, I like big props even though they're a pain in the butt. I love having big props. And I was like, okay, if I plan this out, maybe I can commission, like, the dress. And most of that outfit was commissioned, you know, and, like, but it's the one I'm most proud of because, like, I guess I was with, like, my friends at the time and we all got recognized and that was such, like, a good feeling. Like, my friend Vic did Yang and my friend Law did Neo, so,
yeah.
And they looked on and they helped me, like, you know, adjust things and, like, kind of make sure the sights was put together and, you know, just gave me support because... You know, Ruby was like, oh man, how about that scythe?
Yeah.
And, you know, I commissioned most of the pieces and me and my dad, like, took those pieces and kind of put it together, if you will, you know, so, like, sure. Assemble it into something, like, that actually looked like it. And,
yeah, I've seen the picture of it and it looked really.
Yeah. And thank you very much. And I remember walking in with my, you know, with Vic and Law and immediately getting stopped that day. And that had never happened in me, you know. And just the MegaCon of, you know, 2014 was a really good year for me to cosplay because that's when I did Ruby and then I also did Raven, which most of that I did myself. I did the cape and, like, I got the leotard and I made the boots and stuff. But Ruby really solidified, like, wow, like, people like this, like, it's so cool, and I remember this guy, he was doing, like, a cosplay music video, I guess, and he was, these people, like, go to all the cons in Florida, and they put together a little compilation of all the cool cosplay they see, and they wanted me in it, and I was like, you want me?
That's awesome.
I'm just here, I'm nothing special, but he wanted me, and he's like, I just gotta have your scythe, and it was just so good, and...
Oh, that's so cool.
And he even took a picture of my friend, you know, Yang, and she sculpted her gauntlet for, like, a month, like, out of, like, casting and mold, and, oh, man, her Yang is so good, like,
yeah.
It just all looked really on point, and that's when it kinda felt, like, really good, so I had to say, like, Ruby was, like, my first, like, really proud, even though, like, again, most of it's commissioned, but, like, at the same time, I had a lot of fun, like, getting all the pieces and kind of putting it together, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
For our listeners, and also Steven, Ruby is a Rooster Teeth animated show.
Yes.
Originally created by Monty Oom. And,
oh, I knew all that. Come on.
Yeah. Ruby is very good, and all the listeners need to watch it ASAP, but definitely a warning of Volume 3. It is a ride.
Yeah.
It is, it really is. Quite a ride.
Yeah, man. Dang.
Feelings.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No spoilers, but feelings.
It's a feel strip.
It is very much the feels. I legitimately cried. That's how bad it was.
Oh, no. Oh no!
I remember live texting my friend, and we were both crying about it. We were a mess. It was a mess. You can ask my own mother; they were there to see that. They were like, "Are you okay?" And I'm just like, "I'm not. I'm not okay."
Oh man.
It's very good, though. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. That show has, like, really matured with its storytelling, because, like...
It really has. I was actually really surprised how mature it got from, like, Volume 2. Like, you can tell the shift, like, it was a slight shift between Volume 1 and Volume 2, and then it, like, jumped, like,
it
to
really
Volume
2.
Yeah, they weren't playing games anymore at Volume 3.
But, like, moreover, like, they developed the characters, they developed, like...
Oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Sort of the ethos of Ruby, like
for sure. It just keeps getting better with each.
Really,
like they learn like what they need to do, and they just like add to it. And they're I like Ruby because they seem really receptive to like the fans too.
Yeah.
They always I feel like they take into consideration like what their fans are like kind of looking forward to, but they give them surprises still, you know. And it's such a nice thing to see, like. I haven't felt that way, you know, like, that's, like, one of my major shows right now, and, like, Steven Universe. Those are, like, my top two that I'm excited always.
Everybody loves Steven Universe, man. That's the thing.
I love Steven Universe so much. It's so positive. Like, doing the cosplays for it, like, is such, like, a nice positive, like, experience. Because, like, just seeing the different body types is such a relief.
Yeah.
Because
that's another thing, too. That,
yeah, yeah. The body types were so great, and just doing, I did, Steve-Ani, and, like, I just love being able to wear that and not feel like, oh, I have to look a certain way, because Steve-Ani, like, definitely has curves, and I'm just like, nice, I feel so, like, comfortable with this, like, cosplay, like, it's just such a nice feeling to resonate, and I'm sure, like, all the viewers feel that way, because there's so much diversity, and they can, like, resonate with that.
Yeah, I think that, like, that's one thing that really upsets me, is, like, when people criticize cosplays because their body type isn't...
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they don't even take into consideration, like, these body types are impossible because they're an anime.
Exactly. And,
so,
You know,
is that
it's
something
like,
that does that ever happen in actual life, or is that just something that you read about online?
Oh no, what happens?
No, it happens. It definitely happens. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of like commentary, like stuff online. I mean, just yesterday I was reading how like Lara Croft cosplayer. She was definitely, you know, like plus size, but she put a lot of effort in making, like, her, like, holsters and, like, you know, things like that. And everybody, like, they took that picture and, like, edited it and said Fridgerator. And I was like, that's rude as heck. And, you know, they were like, oh, you know, at first they were like, oh, haha, funny, you know, no skin off my nose. But then, you know, they started to read the comments and just, like, the incredible amount of fat shaming, like, they just don't want them to exist at all, like, it's unacceptable, like, it's just so sad, because somebody...
Well, one thing you can be sure of is that if somebody is online and they're fat shaming somebody, man, they must be really, really attractive people.
Oh, yeah.
And worthwhile, too, like, they have a lot, if you're sitting there, like, making somebody fun of somebody else for their weight, you really must have so much going on in your life.
I know. They need help.
But the words still hurt. And like the thing is, it's
totally.
It's also true for like the opposite end of the spectrum, like women who are really fit and put a lot of effort into like looking good and being fit and being in shape. Like they get sexually harassed.
Yeah, for sure. I went to a panel at Magic City Comic Con, and this lady, I believe her name was Alicia, she does a really good Chitara, and she's all about being fit and, like, also being nerdy. She's really great. And she was talking about that, how she was walking outside the con, and she got, like, harassed. Like, you know, and TMZ caught her getting harassed and didn't like, didn't do anything. I mean, she had to go report it herself, but no one stopped, you know what I mean? Like, no one stopped it. And, like, it's just a shame because, like, that stuff kind of ruins, like, the fun. Because in the end, we're all, like, geeks and nerds in mm-hmm. costume. There's literally no reason for you to say any sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, you're all there for the same reason. You're all geeks and nerds and rejects in your own sort of right. And, like, you're all gathering at a con to be together and to have fun with one another. And
exactly.
And that sort of stuff happens. It really is a damn shame because, like, that doesn't need to happen. That doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you I did a bathing suit cosplay from Free, the swimming anime, and I did, like, a gender-bent version of a character with a couple other people, and I had changed from something a little bit more conservative, you
mm-hmm.
like, up here, Jade got to your outfit, which is, like, really covered. I wear a hood, I wear long sleeves, I wear a long skirt, you know, yeah. I have, like, basically a witch outfit on. I changed it to a bathing suit, and man, did the creeps, like, just come, like, rushing up all of a sudden, and which is really scary. I had underage people in my group, and, like, for me to, like, tell somebody, and then for them to continue, regardless of people being underage, you know, because the gentleman was definitely, like, in his 20s and up, and he was saying some comments about, you know, the underage, like, one of my underage friends, and it was really disturbing, like, how they don't care
about that kind of stuff. Anyone who makes comments of any sort of that ilk is no gentleman.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, very true. This nasty scum that came up to us. Yeah. So, it is bad, you know. To be completely honest, it does kind of deter me a little bit. I won't cosplay anything of that caliber unless I'm in a group. I don't do anything like, you know, some of those, like, kind of, you know, more, I use the term spicy because I like that word, you know, any spicier cosplays. like, me and my friend plan to do Satana and Black Canary soon, and we're gonna do that because we're gonna stick together, you know what I mean? I would never, like, do Satana without, like, anybody else doing with me, because it's literally a matter of safety.
Yeah, totally. And if your friend who's Black Canary gets harassed, she should just yell. Just scream.
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're good at that. They will scream so loud. I got to practice saying curse words backwards as the town.
Yeah, for sure. Like, just learn some actual witchcrafts and wizards.
Magic.
Yeah.
Just magic.
When in cosplay, because I have a little bit of a background in theater and I like to do that. Like, if I was in cosplay, I would kind of want to be in character. Do you take on the roles of the characters that you cosplay, or do you just just enjoy, like, being out there and in costume of your favorite character?
Most of the time, I just kind of dress up and I just like being that character. It's only if I get invited to a panel or something I get in character. Like, I used to do that, you know, when I was younger doing Homestuck panels, I would get in character for, like, Jade Harvey. But I don't really, like, go around as much and does the characters. Unless, like, if I happen to stumble upon, like, other characters from the same series, like, I'll say a quote or something, you know? Like, I don't stay in character, like, the whole day.
Right.
So, I just kind of, like, if I see other people, and I'm, you know, that's kind of, like, my go-to conversation, I'll say something, like, in character, like, you know, but I know there are a lot of other cosplayers that will, like, they get into that zone, and that's it. That's their whole character for the day. Which is really respectable, because I have a hard time keeping in character, because, like, I'm a very, like, smiley person, and for a while I was doing very, like, stoic characters, so it was really hard to, because I like their outfits, so it was really hard for me to, like, stay stoic.
I mean, like, you did Raven, which actually won a costume contest recently, right?
Yes, I did, and I was really proud of that. I never won anything. It was just felt so good to win, like, a costume contest at the comic book store and to, like, get recognized.
Okay.
I And it makes me happy too, because that cosplay in particular is one of the few cosplays that little kids love. They recognize me, and I remember at MegaCon, I had so many little kids run up to me and like get underneath my cape and to take pictures, and it was just such a good feeling. And
that's awesome.
I actually, before I won that costume contest, I did charity work for Peaches Neat Feet. So it's like an organization that helps like hospital bound kids, and we had a comic book day for them, and they posted out a little ad saying, oh, hey, is there any cosplayer that are willing to just hang out with some kids for a little bit? Because this is, like, one of the few times we're allowed to, like, leave, you know?
Yeah.
And I went as Raven, and I had this little girl, you know, she was in her little wheelchair, and her wheelchair was decorated all cutely and everything. Mm. And I looked over at her, and she was, like, whispering to her mom, and her mom, like, waved me over, and she's like, she really wants to take a picture with you. Can we take a picture with you? And I was like, absolutely. And that was one of the few times I was, like, in character, because this kid, they literally asked me, oh, where's Starfire, and where's Beast Boy, and I said, oh, well, they're on a mission now, but, you know, my main mission is here, and...
That's really sweet.
I tried not to cry because I had gray makeup on, so I had to go to the bathroom and put some back on.
Yeah.
But they told me it was like the best day of their life, and I just my heart was just like so happy and full, because like that's literally one of the reasons why I do cosplay, because like if it makes somebody's day, then like it makes my day too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already making my day that I'm in it, but like just to hear that just really like makes my day. So like just Raven will always have a special place in my heart because it made that, you know, little girl so happy.
Yeah. By the way, like the Raven makeup was like really good. Really smoothly applied. Like I feel like, it looked like it took a long time to apply. How long does it like for certain like special effects makeup? Like,
yeah,
I see cosplay like of all kinds. Sometimes they take like special effects makeup. Sometimes they, you know, have a whole bunch of cool props or like some elaborate you know, cloth designs or, you know,
for
like
sure.
Armor designs. Like,
yeah, well, I know.
Like, it's a just general question, like.
Let's see.
It takes a lot of effort, you know, I know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know it gets faster the more I do it.
Yeah.
The first time I did Raven, I had help from, you know, I had help from my friends, like, Vic and Law. They taught me how to do that kind of gray makeup. And the first time, it took me, I want to say, like, an hour and a half the first time, because I was trying to gray up all these areas, you know, and like do all sorts of stuff. And then the day I did the costume contest, I had it down to like 45 minutes I could get it done. So, and then as for like certain cosplays just like require things to be put on, like another makeup intensive one would be my Rainbow Quartz cosplay. So like that's the fusion between Rose Quartz and Pearl. She has, like, the second set of eyes, and some people actually draw on the second set of eyes, but I do just kind of, like, what I do, I take fake eyelashes, and I draw, like, the lines like they're closed, you know, because it's just, like, easier, and I think it looks more, like, natural on my face.
Yeah.
I know there's people that, like, are super artistic, and they can draw those second pair of eyes, and it looks fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
But that takes me a little while because I gotta make sure that they're even, not one eye is lower than the other, and then do regular makeup and then attach the gem with spirit gum on my forehead. Mm. That'll take like an hour and a half, like,
yeah.
You know, as for props, it's just transporting them that takes the longest.
Yeah.
Ruby Scythe, the first time I got it, it took me forever to assemble it. But now I kind of modified it, so it's, like, in three big pieces with three connector pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do it, like, in 5 minutes in the parking lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's just so big. So it's just making sure, you know, things stay on, which I probably have to go retouch that because it's seen some battle scars. It's got chips and stuff just, you know, just being around, carrying it around and everything. So, yeah, there's some makeup intensive. Like, Ruby is probably my most, like, prop intensive one because just the sheer size of it. But, yeah, Raven is definitely, like, makeup heavy because it's, like, it's hot and I got to be careful when I sweat and make sure I seal that on there real good and all that good stuff. So,
yeah.
So, and I know, like, certain people, like, take, like, because you got to put your base makeup first. So, and some people, I don't really require too much. I just make sure I put, like, primer, foundation, you know, just like a fresh face, and then I go ahead. So my fresh face doesn't take too long, but for some people it takes longer than others, you know, because you got to find that right setting. And always eyebrows takes the longest no matter what cosplay. And you got to make sure your eyebrows are, like, strong and matching to the character.
Wow, that would be something I never would have thought of.
No, eyebrows are
That's why I would be bad at cosplay. Because I would just, I would not, my eyebrows would not be on fleek, as the people say.
They need to be on fleek, for sure.
You gotta have on fleek eyebrows, I know.
Yeah, like, may your eyebrows be strong that day.
I'm gonna...
That's like the cosplay may your eyebrows be ever strong.
Yeah.
There's actually, I think I saw it on Tumblr, it was like a little cosplay, like, Oath, and it had eyebrows in it, and I was like, oh, thank you. But I'm actually blessed because I have a decent pair of eyebrows. I know a lot of my friends have to, like, you know, pencil in their eyebrows. I was born, see, when I was little, thick eyebrows were not in, so I used to be really ashamed of my eyebrows, but now it's like an eyebrow renaissance, so, like, everybody wants, like, thick eyebrows, and I'm just so lucky that I never shaved them off when I was, like, 14 and angry. I kept them. Not that my mom would let me do it anyway, but, you know, I thought about it. I was like, what if I just shave it off so I can have, like, nice, pretty, skinny ones, and now everybody's, like, penciling their eyebrows since they shaved it in. I'm like, you see? I knew that was a good choice.
Totally meant to do that.
Totally meant to do that. So, but yeah, eyebrows are very important.
You heard it here first, folks. Eyebrows are coming back. It's a renaissance.
Eyebrows, renaissance, 2016.
Step one for cosplayers, eyebrows must be on fleek.
Yeah.
They gotta be on fleek.
You know, just the fact that I have said on fleek more than once is proof that on fleek is way past being cool.
Awesome, because I had no idea what it meant.
Oh, see, you missed the whole thing, then.
Yeah, so I missed the whole renaissance.
You missed the whole renaissance. It's okay.
Eyebrow renaissance. It's
okay. The eyebrow renaissance.
There will be a Reddit fair, and people will just be, like, having really nice eyebrows.
Yeah. Oh, I want to be where that's at. Eyebrows are art, man. Like, having good eyebrows for your face, that takes hard work.
I mean, makeup in general takes a lot of
art. Makeup is hard. My friend Dawn, they are so good at makeup, and they taught me a lot, actually, about contouring, because, like, you know how some characters have rounder face, sharper face than others?
Yeah.
And, like, I've been actually getting better at, like, experimenting with that kind of contouring kind of thing, because I actually do plan on, like, cosplaying, so, like, cross-dressing, cosplaying, and, like, my face is very feminine, so I need to, like, contour it to make it sharper and a little bit more masculine, so, like, it's, makeup in general takes, like, a lot of work.
That's kind of ironic that, like, you would have to use makeup, generally considered a feminine product, to make
yourself. Yeah. A lot of male cosplayers.
How about that paradox?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of male cosplayers rely on makeup as well to, like, achieve a certain look, you know?
Yeah.
The moderately okay cosplay, I know he wears makeup for Genos for One Punch Man. Yeah. Like, his makeup is, like, phenomenal, and his contacts also great. Like, he does such a good Genos. So it's, you know, and one of my friends, Mark, too, also needs, like, makeup to, like, kind of, because male characters are also, like, over over-masculinated in a way, too. So it's like, not even boys have some of those features. So you need makeup to, like, give you those features.
Yeah.
You know, to give you that sharp jaw or whatever you need. Or muscles, even. Like, just brush on some contouring for muscles. Like,
you know. And that only goes so far.
Yeah, very true.
Like, I don't think I could brush on enough contour. I don't think that would happen for me.
A little bit is nice. But yeah, that's what, ironically, the fitness cosplayer was saying. Like, you know, I know a lot of people, they want to achieve that body, like, you know, for, like, Goku or something. They want to get ripped. So, like, that motivates them to go to a gym and, like, get a body. I mean,
I could
makeup
totally see
always
that.
Helps. Yeah, makeup always helps. But, like, there's actually a lot of people that, like, cosplay inspires them to be more healthy because they want to achieve, like, that body type.
Right.
So they go to a gym because they want to, like, be shredded like Goku or Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
It reminds me when I worked at G4, we did a sketch where it was coming up on Comic-Con, so we did a cosplay guide. And we were like, oh, you know, if you're a woman, you can cosplay as these characters. And then we had a bunch of people cosplaying as different characters. And if you're a muscular guy, you can cosplay as these characters. And then we had somebody who was and then we were like, if you're a fat guy, you can cosplay as Kevin Smith.
Oh, my God.
Aww.
Poor guy. Thankfully, like, I know, like, for example, Steven Universe, Rose Quartz is, like, plus size, so that is, like, a blessing to, like, everybody. But even so, just, like, being on costume.
That was a joke, but, you know, people
for sure.
Cosplay is, like, at its core, it's about fun. But how
exactly.
So many people, like, judge you because, like, you don't have this detail down, or, like, you're not the right body type, your eyebrows are not on fleek. Like, that's just not cool.
But it's not cool.
I'm tired of being judged for not being on fleek, Scott.
I'm sorry, Steven.
Well, like,
people can be brutal with eyebrows. People can be brutal with eyebrows. Not many people, you know, can have good eyebrows.
It's true. And then when you fuck them,
Yeah, I mean, I get insecure. Right? Yeah, like, everybody has, like, insecurities, like, for stuff, and cosplay helps kind of alleviate that, for sure.
I can see how it would give somebody a lot of confidence, too.
I remember watching this video my mom shared with me on Facebook ages ago, and it was like, you know, this heavyset guy, and he cosplays, he's the Peter Griffin guy, and
he's awesome.
He's so good, and, you know, he's always so in his element because he knows he can rock Peter Griffin, you know, in that outfit, and he's like, he always is talking about how he's like a nobody outside of that, but, like, here he feels like somebody, you know. He's like, I'm just a fat nobody outside, but here people recognize me and they want to, like, talk to me and stuff. And that's such a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So,
like, it's just a good feeling no matter what. So I understand where he's coming from. So I think, like joking aside, like, no matter what you do, it's like, you know, it's always a good thing no matter what you pick. So
there you go.
That is pretty funny, though.
Yeah. And with that, I think that we can call this an episode.
Yes, I would say this episode has been on fleek.
Yeah, for sure. Carol,
on fleek.
Thank you so much for helping us old and young geeks alike get on fleek more with ourselves and our eyebrows.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It's been an absolute
pleasure. I'm glad the podcast I can be remembered by is with eyebrows and the word hashtag on fleek.
Oh, you helped.
This is my legacy. Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, Carol, thank you so much for coming on to our show.
Thank you very much, guys. You guys have been super great to talk to. And I just want to, like, thank you all for listening and thank, like, all of my, like, cosplay buddies, like Alex, Don, Bob, Mark, Taylor, Vic, just to help me, like, get there. And, of course, like, my really best friend Nia for, like, pushing me to do, like, more complicated cosplay. So, like, I just want to give them a quick shout-out, too, because it's a team effort.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
it's a team effort. So.
Awesome. And is there any place where we can find your cosplay or your friend's cosplay?
Yes, yes. So I have a Facebook page, Digital Daydreamer Cosplay. That's my Facebook page. I'm also on Instagram, Digital Daydreamer 31. A lot of my friends' cosplays are also on my Instagram, so if you could check that out. There's a lot of them, so just feel free to peruse and follow them, too. I know... my friend Nia has a Facebook page, Seer of Cosplay, which is fantastic. They do a lot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, so which is a really like interesting fandom if you ever have the chance to get into that. Lots of posing matches, very ridiculous posing. It's quite fun. And my friend Mark also has like only figurative cosplay on Facebook as well. So there's a lot of people. I've made a lot of friends.
That's awesome.
Which is, I would never, like, 12-year-old me, you know, was such a loner, and I never thought I'd be able to even list so many people like I do now, so.
Really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Well, cool. All
right. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you having me.
If you like this episode, let us know. Send us an email at oldandyounggeek@gmail.com or send us a tweet. I'm Svederik, Svederik, and Steven is Steven A. Johnson on Twitter. That's Steven with a PH, by the way. Thanks for listening.